Tickets, please have your tickets ready.
Children under five must wear safety masks.
And the children first.
Seasickness makes me so nauseous.
Everyone, welcome back to the Dreamboat podcast. I am Scott.
And I am Connor.
And we are here to dissect your dreams and take them apart, label all the interesting bits that you didn't know before, and then throw it away in a biohazard bag.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
Proper way. That's what we do. How you doing, Connor?
I'm doing pretty well today. No complaints here. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I've had pretty much two dreams in a row now that are very obvious stress dreams that we've touched on briefly before on the podcast, but I don't think we've gone into any sort of detail. These are tooth dreams where your teeth are falling out.
Oh boy, do I know these well.
Yeah, and we've mentioned it a lot. We had one that we did from a submission where someone talked about how they were drinking a lot in their dreams and their teeth kept falling out, and like we sort of turned that into a you may be overwhelmed by changes in your life where you feel incompatible with a new place you're at or something, right? Wasn't that sort of the gist of it?
Yeah, maybe. I think this is a pretty common one. Maybe we take a minute here and kind of talk about what these teeth dream means.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, let me just relay the one that I had this morning here. I had a dream that I was a passenger in like a big van, like the kind that they used to ship people around for like tourist groups or like from hotel to hotel, you know, one of those big like passenger vans. Mm-hmm. And I was riding along. Don't remember why. Don't remember where I was going. And I was just sort of like, I grind my teeth when I sleep too, is I think what was happening. And I was pushing against my tooth and I could, it was like a dream. I could feel it. Like it was a little bit loose. And I was like, no way, is my molar, I remember which one too, it was like my top left molar felt a little loose. And I just put a little pressure on it and it popped out of my mouth. And it was in my mouth. And everyone was trying to talk to me. And I was like, I had to spit it out, but I couldn't. And so I was like, oh God, the shame of speaking to people with your own tooth flapping around in your mouth. And I woke up and just was so relieved. I was like, oh my fucking, I brushed my teeth right away. But yeah, it's a really spooky feeling. That fear is kind of overwhelming when you surprise lose a tooth.
Now, just because I'm curious, and maybe it has something to do with what you could be stressed about, we might as well take a minute here. Vans. One dreams of a van. It can be a symbol that more space could be needed, or it can also be a sign of adventure or progress moving forward, or also taking people, things, or emotions along with you into the future.
Hmm. All that from a van.
Yeah.
Those are all pretty applicable. I live in a little apartment. I just have one roommate, and we have a little kitten now. The space is not...
Oh.
A little compromised there. Yeah, cat kitten don't take up too much space. Shout out to Goblin. I love you, Goblin.
Always be space in your heart for Goblin.
Let me see what Ibn Sirin has to say about losing teeth.
Yeah, while you're looking that up, I will say, in general, I think teeth dreams have a lot to do with like being out of control of a situation. Like you feel like there's just nothing. And in these dreams, I've had teeth dreams too, and there's just nothing you can do. There's just nothing you can do to fix it. Like you can try to put them back in your head, or like I've talked to people who say that like they'll have these teeth dreams and they crumble and then they're like chewing their broken teeth and like eating their teeth. And that just sounds real, 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 real bad.
That sucks. That sucks that you're eating your own teeth. Wow. All right. Falling teeth in a dream, according to Ibn Sirin, represents longevity, or living past one's contemporaries. So this might be like a bummer kind of longevity, like the kind where you outlast everyone and everything you know. See, again, what I had heard before, and I've just been parroting since, that these dreams, these quote-unquote stress dreams, just represent there's something in your life that has slowly fallen out of your control, or you have less control over than before. So that would be a good example of that, I suppose.
Well, and you had mentioned to me earlier that you've been working like crazy hours, and I know that that's always very overwhelming. I as well have been trying to get that dollar and have been working some pretty crazy hours, and like I had to change a lot of my plans that I had for my work after, because I just was just too tired, and like I too felt pretty out of control, except I didn't have enough time to have a stress dream because I had to wake up early the next day to do it two more times in a row.
I've been on that same boat, but I feel like that would make more sense too, because not having the time to like sit out, and like I used to meditate a lot more and my dreams were generally more chill in that time. And now that I'm just sort of bum rushing everywhere in my life, and you know,
well, I think that has a lot to do with, I think we talked about this in regards to like people smoking the marijuana, in that you don't have the time to like process the dreams or what am I trying to say? Like when you meditate, you have that time to think about all these things and process what's going on in your life. And then when you don't have that time, it has to happen when you're asleep, because that's what your brain naturally does. And the reason I brought in the marijuana is like we talked about how that naturally compresses that time or depresses that time when you sleep. It doesn't like allow that to activate. And that's why when you stop smoking weed, you get like cuckoo crazy dreams.
I understood it that it does. You do dream. You just get the part of you that remembers them as fucking dunzo.
Fair.
I'm not supposed to use fuck words anymore. I keep screwing that up.
Oh.
But no, what my personal theory about that is that when you dream, there's that's the subconscious and the conscious mind get a minute to talk and catch each other up on what's going on. I would argue that a lot of the time these people who are, you know, people who are stony baloney, there's a lot of negative connotations to that, but it does actually allow for a little bit more, I don't know, like introspection. People tend to be a little more perceptive of their own emotions a little bit sometimes. You get a little bit of that.
I mean, yes and no. Again, no tea, no shade to those folks who like are all about it. That was me for a long time. Still like, it's a cool thing. Do it or don't, whatever. But
that might be the link, though, is what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm, is that the brain's already talking a little better when you're on it, so it doesn't need to catch up as much. Or maybe it can't when you're asleep, and so it forces you to do it when you're conscious. I don't know. I did find a cool thing here about teeth. Ibn Sirin talks about there's actually a difference between falling teeth from the top row and the bottom row. And so I lost teeth from the top row, which means longevity or living past my contemporaries. And it could also mean having a large family.
Did you have a lot of friends pass away recently?
I mean, not too recently. I had one friend pass away a few months ago, but that was about it. And then if the lower teeth fall in the dream, it's pain, suffering, sorrow, and distress. I feel like I lucked out a little bit there. Wow.
I mean, did you feel that way before you read this explanation, though?
I didn't feel pain. I felt distress in that moment in the dream when my tooth fell out, but it was the top row. It was the top molar.
Right.
On the left side. And yeah, not a lot of just like pain. It was just like shame and embarrassment and get fear for my health. Like that was all I was feeling in that moment.
I mean, yeah, I think this is interesting though. Like if, for example, if I saw, or I would say someone saw in the United States, saw a bunch of bats and a bunch of bats flew at them, they'd probably be like, oh shit, like that was really scary, blah, 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 blah. Where if someone in China saw a bunch of bats flying at them, they'd be like, oh, this is like really, really, really good luck.
Oh,
so
okay.
I gotta wonder, for me, like top row, bottom row, teeth falling out of my head, not a good time.
Yeah, there's no cultural precedent in Western culture that makes teeth falling out any kind of symbol of good luck. It's your teeth.
And teeth are so damn important in this culture, in this, you know, American Western culture. Yeah. It's everything.
We're a very smiley culture. We're a very superficial culture too.
Yeah, so I'm never gonna book that Crest White Strips commercial or whatever. Some broke ass gompers.
Unless you had really, really white, like three really white teeth left in your mouth. Like,
yeah, just the sparkling. Front ones. Just the front.
Yeah, but
ones.
They're sparkling though.
But they're perfect.
They're perfect teeth. All right, cool. You haven't had any dreams or anything, have you, recently?
I kind of have. So last night was the first time I really got to sleep in a while, and I had some dreams. I had really hard times remembering one, man. I know I had. I was really upset because I had one dream, and like I had been listening to some D&D podcasts before I was going to bed, some real play podcasts. And I know I dreamed about using magic, and I'm really upset that I don't remember it, because that's the kind of dream I always want to have. I want to be like the dude with the sword. I want to be the guy casting spells. I want to have like crazy Star Wars star smuggler dreams. But inevitably, I dream about eating too many avocados and like being at a swimming pool and being really stressed out. I did have one kind of weird dream where there's this girl at my work, and she's a swimming teacher and doesn't have the best personality all the time. And in my dream, she was leading this conditioning exercise for like UFC fighting workshop. And I was just like super not impressed. And some of my dream was just like that. I remember these little snippets. They're not the great grandiose ones. I had one where I was going glasses shopping with my girlfriend's stepfather. And there was like not a good selection, but we were in like Sports Authority shopping for glasses frames. And then we can say Sports Authority. Nike yeah. Frames. Okay, good. We can still say Sports Authority. And then on the way out, I saw another one of my friends he's older. He's in his 40s and he's really tall. But in my dream, he was like 9 feet tall. I was like, holy crap. Like, Duke, I forgot you were like really, really tall. yeah, so I've just kind of had like little glimpses into my subconscious like that. It's kind of been, I think what I need to do, I need to drink more apple juice. That's what it is. The apple juice, I think before bed, really got me going.
Slamming cheese too. Yeah, I need to get back into that.
Yeah, stinky cheese and apple juice goes a long way.
That stank cheese. So we do have a submission as well, do we not?
Well, yes, we have another lovely audio submission from Our Lady Masha.
Man, Masha just keeps giving. If anyone else contributes, you're going to have to vie for airtime with
Yeah, I think she's most definitely our number one fan. Thank you, Masha.
Thank you, Masha.
Absolutely.
Do we want to get into that right now?
I think so, because I think she brings in another pretty good topic here and talks about lucid dreaming.
We may have to defer to our own analysis on this one, because I believe Dr. Emer is studying abroad right now at a conference or something, so he may not be able to Skype in.
Yes. Where he's at. However, I got in touch with him, mm-hmm. and he said, yes, yeah, he's doing this conference or whatever. He's out of the country, but his brother is available. So,
his brother has a doctorate as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's also a doctor in onerology, so instead of Dr. Emer, we'll have to call Dr. Emer today, his brother. Okay, cool. But so perhaps maybe should we try to get him on the line and then we'll play the audio? That way he can hear it and everything.
Sure. Sounds good to me.
All right, cool. Yeah. Okay, let me pull it up on Skype. I've got his number here. A really interesting profile picture here. For Doc.
Yeah, he's a bit of a weirdo, guy.
He's pretty eccentric. But I mean, I guess if you're an Emer, it's not like a regular Dr. Emer. It's the most normal guy. All right, let me get him going here. All right, it's dialing. Getting him. Hold on. Oh, hey, Dr. Emer.
Yes, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, sir.
How are you doing today?
How are you doing, gentlemen? I am very well, thank you.
Good.
I'm glad you reached out to me, because my brother is terrible at the dream analysis, and I wanted to step in and set it correct for the Emer name, you see.
Oh, yeah.
We work very hard in our discipline of onerology.
Yeah, it's very good to have you here. It's a pleasure. It's an honor. We have a really good submission, and we could really use your help today. We have a good submission about lucid dreaming from one of our good friends, Masha.
Oh, yeah, lucid dreaming. Wonderful. Yeah, wunderbar. Let's play. Let us play it.
All right, great. Let's roll that tape.
My name is Masha, and I'm here to submit another dream. This is a particularly special accomplishment because it's my first time ever achieving lucid dreaming. And I've been trying for 2-3 weeks now. I listened to dream podcasts before bed. I've been reading some books about it, read some articles about it, and I'm happy to finally have done it. So here's what went down in the dream. So in the dream, I was in what looked like some university type setting over on the East Coast. It was fall. It was gorgeous, gorgeous trees. Everything was gold and red and just very incredibly, incredibly vivid. And I remember thinking in my dream, like, you know, what am I doing here? Like, I'm not here for work. I'm not here. I'm just here hanging out. But, you know, that thought escaped after a couple minutes. And I never again questioned the reality of the dream until later. So we're on campus and I'm there with my husband. We're taking a class together and we look outside and the clouds, the sky is just like this green gray. And it's very foreboding, and we're trying to study on whatever tests we're taking, and alarms start going off, and we immediately recognize them as being tornado sirens. And the tornado sirens, and it's turning into this, like, it's the weather is very unnaturally rapidly devolving into hurricane weather, tornado weather. And people are even commenting, like, we're in Boston, like, we don't get tornadoes here. We're not supposed to have this kind of weather. This is really unusual. So they don't have any shelters or anything. So we get out of the building and we're trying to get into a more secure building. And we're running across this green expanse of grass, just the most green grass and the most red and gold trees. It's beautiful. And then the sky is horrifying. And we're running across trying to find shelter in this other building. And then I'm running across and I look in the distance and tornadoes begin to pull from the clouds. They're like funneling down the way you see in shitty movies. They're like funneling down and there's many of them. There's like one comes and it's three, then it's six tornadoes. And I'm really, really, really starting to panic at this point. So I'm still following my husband across this expanse of grass and I decide to look down at my watch. Which is one of the tricks you have in lucid dreaming. There's a few things you could do. You could look at your watch a couple of times. You could look at your hands, pinch yourself, et cetera, et cetera. So I looked down at my watch, and I wasn't wearing it. And I really expected it to be there. And I looked down at my watch, and I'm not wearing a watch. And I always wear a watch. My whole job is to be on time, and I'm across all these time zones all the time. So I looked down, I'm not wearing a watch. I'm like, oh, of course I'm not wearing a watch. I'm dreaming. I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming. And then I'm like, okay, well, the second thing you could do is look at your hands. So I look at the backs of my hands and they look fine. But I turn them over. I turn my hands over, my palms facing up, and I put them right in front of my face. And it is the most foreign lady hands I've ever. They are not my hands. They're somebody else's hands on the underside. The palms of my hands are different. So the top of them looked fine. Nails looked the same, everything, but the palms were different. And then while I was looking at them, the fingertips started stretching out, and I shut my hands into fists and stuck them in my pockets. I'm like, okay, I'm dreaming. My hands are freaking me out. I'm not going to look at my hands, but if I'm dreaming, then I can control this. I can stop being scared of these damn tornadoes. So I look at the tornadoes, and in a superhero moment, I just whisper. It's so loud outside. It's like winds blowing. There's things being flown all over the place, branches and benches and everything is flying all left and right, and people are screaming, and I just whisper, just stop. I whisper the word stop, and the tornadoes, oh, they freeze in place, and everything freezes in place. Everyone around me, everything I'm doing, the leaves, the grass, all of it stops moving. And then I just start cracking up. And then I wake up. And then I text Scott about my lucid dream. And he tells me to record it. So there's my story. First time it's ever happened. It was beautiful and horrifying and really, really, really cool. And I almost missed out on it because I wasn't wearing a watch. And what if I had just thought, like, oh, I forgot to wear a watch today. You know, okay, whatever. And just moved on. But, oh, so good. So, so, so good. thank you anyway for any analysis that you can do. Trees, grass, colors, stopping time, lucid dreaming, weird fingertips. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. So I really appreciate you guys, avid listener, and I will hopefully hear from you soon. Thanks.
Wow.
That was a pretty great dream. Oh, Scott, it's good to hear
bonkers.
You talk.
Bonkers. Yeah, yeah. So, Doctor, I mean, we would love to have you in on our normal analysis as well, but do you have anything you can elucidate?
Yeah, maybe we discuss some lucid dreaming stuff first. I know a little bit and have experienced a few lucid dreams in the past, but what do you make of this, Doc?
Yeah, well, your friend Masha makes a very good point. The state of lucid dreaming can only occur while you walk the line of being conscious of the dream, while still allowing the dream to proceed. So you go too far one way, the dream ends. You go too far the other way, you are unaware in the dream.
If you don't have the control.
There are certain tricks. Masha mentioned the watch. In a dream, there are no constraints of time, and so the watch will always display a different time as you look.
Right, the same thing with computer screens or any sort of television screen and those sorts of things.
That is correct. Staring into a mirror, there are no physics to reflect correctly. And so this is typical for initiating the lucid dream state. Once you gain the awareness within the dream, it is possible to make decisions that affect the dream proper. You have an awareness of self and memory functions that allow it to sometimes be a sort of playground. And this is why there is a large community around lucid dreaming and exploring the dream from the inside.
Yeah, I have also heard that people who are trying to lucid dream in their daily life will ask themselves constantly, am I dreaming? So right now I'm doing this podcast, I'll ask myself, Am I awake right now? Am I dreaming?
Are you awake right now? Are any of us awake
well,
right now?
Well, Scott, now you're getting into the Matrix territory. But
The Matrix. I love this film.
Yeah, that's a pretty good film. Maybe not quite dream oriented, but I think there's a lot to unpack in that. However,
have you ever had a dream, Neo?
It's happened to me before, and it's funny because in the beginning of the dream, Masha had said that she was like at a university and she asked herself like, I'm not going to school. Cause the first time.
Yeah, but then, but then she didn't commit to it.
Right.
Like
The first time, I think I may have mentioned on the podcast, I was having a dream. I was in eighth grade and we were taking a test and I was in high school at this time. And in my dream, I finally realized like, wait a second, like I'm not in eighth grade anymore. Like you're not my teacher, Mrs. May. This is not language arts. Like, screw you guys. I'm getting out of here. And I got up out of my desk. I walked outside. I jump off and flew into the air. It's just, that's just how it goes. So you talk about that playground effect, Dr. Emer. I think there's a lot to be said because anytime I have realized I'm in a dream, I'll usually just fly.
Yeah, is a total sense of freedom. And I too would like to run super fast and fly.
Have you ever had a lucid dream, Dr. Emer?
I have had fun lucid dream, yes. And I chose to do my favorite thing that I cannot do in life. And in my lucid dream, I was lecturing in Stockholm, and I realized that I was in a dream, and it was a boring dream lecture. And so I materialized a skateboard and did a kickflip.
Oh, very cool, Dr. Emer. Yeah, I know a lot of people talk about flying. A lot of people talk about having sexy times. A lot of people talk about, you
owning
know,
expensive things for a moment. Or
right,
whatever.
Yeah, being speed on a yacht.
Boats. Yeah.
Speed yacht.
But I do want to get into a little bit of just like our homegrown analysis of what that dream might mean, because that dream was bonkers.
Yeah, I think there's a lot.
It was a crazy
I think
one.
There's a lot going on.
That was a very interesting dream overall. Yeah, what a fun thing. It is a shame, however, that she was not capable of extenuating the dream and playing around more, because to me it sounded as though she had Superman powers, and that was very cool.
Yeah, and I think that in the future she'll be able to. I think lucid dreaming is a practice. I know a lot of people, to achieve lucid dreaming, journal about their dreams, so that they're thinking about them more often. Again, thinking in your waking life, is this a dream or not? And those tricks, like you said, Masha listed most of them that I'm aware of as far as looking at time, looking at your hands, looking in a mirror. For me, it comes down to the logic of, wait a minute, like...
Yeah.
I live in blah, blah, you know, location, and my job is to blah, blah, so this is totally not my reality.
See, it's good to practice. Like you said, it's a habit you got to build. Me, I just buy into the dreams way too easily, I think.
Yeah,
I just
great production value.
It's an awesome production that they put on there. All right, well, thank you, Doctor, for joining us. We're going to take it from here, I think.
Thanks, Doc. Yeah, it's really, again, on such short notice for you to pop in.
Yeah. It was nothing, thank you. Invite me next time, my brother is bullshit.
Okay. Absolutely, okay. Thank you, Doc. We'll make sure we don't tell him that.
Yeah, we won't say that at all. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Wow, what an interesting cat, dude.
Wow, what a creep. All right, let's do this. So the one thing that I want to get into also is that the fact that the university keeps jumping into everyone's dreams, or like the school, you know, and we broke into that one last time. What did that mean again? It was like something about the past, like being tied to your former life or something.
Well, when you think about it, we spend from the age of 5 for most of us to the age of 25 almost in school of some kind, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the good first, for some people, a quarter to a fifth of your life. It has a lot to do with who you have been. Almost the entire time you've had memory.
Big part of it, your memory. Let's do a little Google research here for what tornadoes mean, too. Are you doing universities?
Well, I got tornadoes up here. Suggests you are experiencing something unpredictable, perhaps an unstable situation or relationship of some kind, whether that be, you know, in your work life, in your personal life, and what have you. And perhaps there's someone in your life prone to mood swings or emotional outbursts is what this reads. But that's only one dilly hopper there.
Wow. And that's the twister. I like that. That's it's turmoil represented visually. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Someone when they're really upset in the cartoons, they have that little squiggly line above their head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or like the Taz effect. Just a big.
Right. Yeah. The Taz effect.
So I do want to look into this thing with the hands too, because that was creepy and weird. That was right as it started to get into her lucidity there.
Yeah, I really like the visual of weird lady hands, like not your lady hands.
Weird foreign lady hands was a great punk rock band name. A B C D E F G H. Okay, so I got hands. Ooh, there's hemp in here and hedgehog.
My two favorite things together. Now, just here quickly, to see a green-colored sky in your dreams symbolizes high hopes.
Green-colored sky is high hopes.
She's got high hopes. We do a lot of singing on this podcast.
We do, and I was starting to... I was going to try and cover some dream-based songs, but... the software I use doesn't port. I'll find a way to do it. We're gonna do some dreamy musics here. I gotta look for body now.
Schools in a dream may represent an aspect of yourself, whether you're learning something or you have an opportunity of taking on something new in your life. And generally, when you're not fully taking advantage of that idea or that process or that learning experience.
I found long hands.
Tell me about long hands.
I found long hands in dreams.
Tell me more about long hands.
oh my gosh. Having long hands in your dream could represent longevity, wealth, helpers, borrowing money, or having business sense.
I think they're lucid dream helpers.
Yeah, well,
right. So she turned them over, and it's like, Masha, you're dreaming.
You're in control.
There's a second chance.
You're governing now. Like he says, governing too. That's very weird. Okay, so there's also a lot here distinguishing between the dream meaning of left hand first, right hand dream things.
So what do you assume they're both? Because she looked at both hands.
Oh, stretched out hands in a dream could mean ill caused by a close friend.
Oh, wow. So well, that could connect to the tornadoes.
Mm-hmm. And the school.
It's interesting that the right in the school learning about dealing with someone or being someone. Yeah, so I think if we boil that down, the dream you're having about the tornado in the school has something to do with a situation you're trying to work out with a close friend or family member or perhaps coworker, what have you. And they're doing something that is perhaps unnerving or volatile or doesn't make sense to you. And you're trying to figure out a way to work it out. And instead of getting any resolution to that, you had a super dope lucid dream moment.
Yeah, you just got to be Storm for a second there, which is crazy. Oh, man. Stop. That just like tornadoes so everywhere. Stop. Cut that out.
Yeah, it was great. I got to see Scott's face when we were playing it. And to see his eyes get really big.
That's the coolest. Dude, if I had a lucid dream, just real quick. If I had a lucid dream, I think my go-to thing, like you said, would be to fly. But I would also want to be able to, like, turn into a bird and fly. Like, I would want to be a huge owl and just, like, fly around. That would be my ideal lucid dream.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a cool owl driving a car, too. Like, a really sweet, like, Camaro, but, like, an owl driving it, you know?
Nice. Well, I think I just want to say one more thing about lucid dreams, and I think we'll move on, is that there's a lot of products out there, like lucid dream eye masks and lucid dream scent inhalers that are supposed to help you out. To me, I think that, and from anyone I've heard or read about who's tried it, it's a bunch of crap.
It's a bunch of oily snakes, if you ask me.
A bunch of big pile of oily
snakes. Don't oil those snakes. They're slippery enough as it is.
Right. I know. How are you going to hold on to an oily snake? You know, it's going to bite you. The oily snake's going to get you. It's going to squeeze you.
Get some greasy reptile. So I've actually had a lucid dream, I just realized, but it was very brief. I was young. I had a fever. And I was at that moment where I was falling asleep. And I could basically control my bed. It was a tilt-a-whirl. I just tipped it back and forth with my brain when I realized I could. But I could get it going so fast that I was going to barf. Like, it was some real serious, like, gravity. I couldn't do much else other than that. I remember my body was, it was very hard to move my body.
Yeah, that happened to me in college one time. I came home after a big night of drinking and I was laying in bed and my bed was spinning around. I had to put one foot on the floor just to kind of like keep myself from barfing.
I don't think that's a dream, dude. I think that's just whatever.
Well, I don't know. It would happen all the time.
The drinky spins?
I'm just kidding.
That's a good. That's a fun lucid dream.
Scott, did you get any submissions on I guess you get them on your Facebook.
I get them on my Facebook.
You should check out the Dreamboat Podcast Facebook.
We have a Facebook page for this podcast.
We would love to interact with you people on the official podcast Facebook.
I mean, I'm not going to ignore it because
we will still parlay with you.
Just parlay right, you know?
Parlay through.
We had a dream submission that was pretty morbid. Someone dreamed that former President Obama was assassinated in their dream. And that was all the detail we got. But okay. I was curious as to what the symbolism of that would mean.
Now, I think that will have to do with like what Obama means to them. Do you know this person enough to where we could take grand license?
I don't want to. I never want to assume anyone's political, you know, standing one way or another. I was thinking more just in a symbolic sense what it means for the head of state to be killed in your dream. You're right, though. It is all context. I would imagine she probably has a favorable view of him, though, without taking too many liberties.
Okay. Well, in saying that, let's just, like, take a minute. I think we can freestyle this one pretty quick. And the idea of the person who is in charge of our country is kind of the face of the country. Like, that's who everyone around the world thinks about when they think of our country, which had been really, really great for those eight years.
For a while there,
it was pretty good.
Pretty cool.
I'm going to leave the rest of my sentiments off the air, but
yeah, I don't want to make this into that podcast.
Now, did she have this dream?
Yes, recently.
Yeah,
recently.
So I mean, that's another thing. Even though he's not in office, I think about someone being like, I remember where I was when Ronald Reagan passed away, and my stepmother was like real torn up. Like Reagan was a big deal in her family and in Texas where we were. And it was a big, big deal. And obviously he hadn't been in office for 20 years, but
yeah.
I'd be pretty crushed myself.
Here's what, just as kind of a stretch here. And I know we said we weren't going to get into politics or whatever, but I would imagine that if her dream was after, like if it was recent and it featured a President Obama being assassinated. Mm. So it's kind of like this is in Bizarro Dream World where he is somehow still president. This is spitballing, a manifestation of how she feels perhaps about the current political climate. Like the face of America has perhaps been wiped away or like
and put a funny orange hat on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been grabbed by the, there's literally like, it's like a bad time.
I mean, I know there, yeah, it has not been the most glorious of half years. I know a lot of people who still are, and I'll leave myself out of it, but I know a lot of people who are still struggling with the new administration and people who are, I mean, again,
right, people are passionate about it.
I have to say it again before I start saying things, and I'll leave myself out of it, with all of the news coming out about different dealings and
just a lot of passionate people out there, you know? People got a lot of heart. That's all we can really say at the end of the day. And yeah. America's got heart. Yeah. Damn, man. It's really tough. It's like one of those word games where you're trying to, what is it, categories or Pictionary? Like,
yeah. I would just say that I think this is probably a pretty common feeling for a good, at the least half of America, if not more, who are pretty wistful for what used to be and pretty upset about what's going on now. So I have a feeling that that's your subconscious being like, this is just too much.
just hang in there. I do have another submission that I really, really love a lot that I want to get to.
Let's lay it on me.
There's actually two, but I want to focus on the first one first. So this is the whole description. I'm just going to read it verbatim.
Give me it.
Wild old man piano player playing a broken piano furiously.
Oh, this is good. Now, I happen to know that this is a Jenna joint. Shout out to Jenna because sent us an entire dream journal.
Just a library.
Like super dope.
Dreams.
So we're going to be like sniping and picking little bits and boops out of here.
This is a choice boop, though. This wild old man.
Oh no, this sounds like the beginning of a Bukowski poem, which I think is great. And just because I said I would, and because I, for anybody who wants a shout out, Jenna wants to say that gives a shout out to people who have suffered from dream paralysis. It's a real thing, and I think we'll talk about dream paralysis sometimes because it sounds horrifying. But we'll get to that another time. So shout out to those folks. Thanks again for this Jenna joint. Let's talk about wild old men playing the piano, broken pianos furiously.
Furiously. And he's wild. Like, I want to be this man. This guy rules. I'm looking up some Ibn Sirin piano here. What do you got?
I'm still doing a bit of typing here.
A little bit of wild man?
Yeah, I just think of, like, crazy hair flying around. Or, like, a prospector. Whenever I think of old men playing a piano, I don't think of, again, piano. I think of piani. Playing some piano in the saloon.
Like ragtime? What time is it?
Ragtime.
We do sing a lot on this one. All right, that was a loud type. I'm not going to type that loud anymore.
You're hacking into the mainframe. What's Jared Kushner
hacking
up
into
to?
Dreams. hey.
All right, I said I wouldn't do it.
Okay, so in a dream in which you see a piano or hear music played on it, I imagine you weren't hearing music. It was a broken piano. Indicates a fun and frivolous event that's going to happen to you. Ooh, fun and frivolous. That's my favorite kind of fun.
Fun and frivolous, but also wildly fun and frivolous. Now, I may add that in this dream journal, something really cool that Jenna's done here is she broke down like what was going on right before she had these dreams.
Yeah.
And
context.
I will just read these as they are here. tipsy, slightly hungry around midnight, which you talk about, you know, wild, frivolous fun.
That's the way to do it.
That is the way to do it.
Hell, there's a few times after I've had a little bit of
now, frivolity. I see one here. An old man in a dream represents forgiveness for past mistakes.
Oh. Weird.
So maybe you had a really lot of frivolous fun, and the old man is forgiving you for all that frivolous fun while he's playing some wild piano.
Or hey, maybe since he's running the wild piano, maybe the fact that your past is forgiving you or whatever the old man represents, maybe that's what allowed for the frivolous fun. Maybe, I don't know how fun that night was, but maybe you had a good time because you got that wild old man off your back.
It could be wisdom and knowledge, forgiveness, or aging and death.
Wild aging and death. Like that wild, though.
Yeah, a wild old man. Like, what do you...
Furiously.
Just
wailing on it.
Using his 10 meat hammers just all over the keys.
It's like Tom and Jerry, you know, where it's like rolling up and down like a wave.
Oh, yeah, and the keys are like flying off. This like
smashing your fingers and just playing with pancake fingers and all that. Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. Yeah, that rules. I think that's I like having these simple little ones, though, because if we took that first definition of the wild old man just meaning forgiveness or, you know, a readiness to accept a new, you know, new modern self, and the piano representing frivolity. Yeah, it's just it's a nice little
bow. That's kind of a nice, on that nice little nugget on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kept trying to find, like, Wild Dreams piano, and I kept finding the piano music for Taylor Swift's Wildest Dreams, and I don't think that's what we're trying to do here.
Oh, goodness, no. Yeah. No thanks.
I know that's right. One of your favorite songs, Scott.
We said we weren't talking politics, dude. we all wrapped up on that one?
You know, I think so. This has been a nice little epi here.
Yeah, not bad. I'm liking this. A little half freestyle, half serious science with our doctor.
Yeah, he's a real interesting cat. I don't know. I kind of like his brother better myself.
Yeah, me too. God, let's never have him over again.
I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. Yeah, you know, but
yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we. I don't know if right there we were talking about the same Dr. Emer. We'll have to ask what their first names are. I don't know what either of their first names are.
Yeah, I've just always been doctor. It's been very difficult to keep them in my contacts. I just have one under parentheses creep. So. I do have one more, but it's kind of like a bigger one. I kind of want to save this.
Yeah, I think at this point we're getting towards about that time.
But I'm gonna leave some little tasty hints here. It looks like we've got Brad Pitt, and weed stashes.
Well, I know I keep my weed stash and my Brad Pitt statue full size. The full size cardboard cutout of Brad Pitt in Fight Club that I keep on my ceiling.
You have a couple of those, don't you? One free room. All right, guys, as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for contributing. Masha, Jenna, you guys are amazing.
That's the most fun I have is when people send us their stuff, because I've been sitting with my dreams for, you know, 20 plus years, and to see what other people experience is like the most fun. So please, don't be shy. If you want it to be anonymous, it'll be anonymous. If you don't, it won't be. We'll give you a shout out, some project you're working on. If you got a little business or a side project, we'd love to know about it. And like people that are in our community, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your friend's mom. Find us on iTunes, a like, a subscribe, and even more like a rating and review would be super, super cool if we could get up on that new and noteworthy section. So it just takes enough of those, unfortunately, to get us there.
And if you know a bunch of people who have an interest in or tell you their dreams and they're not familiar with the podcast, get the word out there yourself. Tell them you know this terrible, terrible podcast that isn't fun to listen to, but that these two poor gentlemen need dreams.
And they're pouring their blood, sweat, and tears.
I had a weird moment playing Pokemon the other day. I was using a move called Dream Eater, where you use hypnosis first, and I was like, wow, that's kind of what we are, because we just gobble up everyone's dreams that they give to us, you know, so we're using our psychic move here.
Yeah, Gengar is my spirit animal.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Once again, I've been Scott.
And I'm Connor. Find us on Facebook at DreamBoatCast or on Twitter. Oh, man, if you give us a retweet, I'd be so stoked. I have no idea how Twitter works, guys, but I think retweets would be super cool to get more people following us. So if you give us a retweet, that would be great. We'll give you a shout out. I think we have 3 followers. This is my plea. Or if you know how Twitter works, like, send us an email. Let us know. I don't know how it works.
All right, guys.
Until next time.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
In your wild dreams.
That's Taylor Swift.